to Mountain Crest, from canyons to the clouds and into the cosmos, we are pumping wattage high and low, streaming worldwide on the internet and keeping you company tonight. Every Saturday, the place to relax and hang out. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, and this is Speaking of Strange, giving you the latest and discussing the weirdest. We have assembled the finest team of reporters and the most intriguing guests, and that's why we are your favorite hub Saturday nights right here on News Radio 570 WWNC plus AM 1400. And they don't call it the talk of the mountains for nothing. Well, you know, we have a policy on this show after 7 or so years of only having excellent guests. And boy, do I have an excellent guest this hour. He is a legend by any standards. This man has given psychic readings to Marilyn Monroe, John Wayne, Elvis, you know, Presidents Truman and Eisenhower, Josephine Baker. I mean, John Wayne, I think I said that already. Hugh Jackman, the list just goes on and on and on. And he has a new book. It's called The Moment. His website is KennyKingston.org, and that is spelled last name KINGSTON, KennyKingston.org. It's a great pleasure to say, Kenny Kingston, welcome, sir, to Speaking of Strange.
What a joy to talk to you.
This is just enormous for a guy like myself who is so intrigued, who has such an explorer's mind, to be able to tap into the knowledge that you have brought to so many historic figures. So let's just start with, you know, the basic questions. How on earth did this begin for you? You know, right now you're in California. Where are you originally from, and what path led you to your destiny?
Well, number one, Joshua, I've got to tell you that I come from a very, very psychic-oriented family. We're Irish. Mm-hmm. And the first bit of the psychic world that I remember, I was about 4 or 5 years old. And my grandmother, Catherine Walsh Clark, taught me tea leaf reading. Mm-hmm. And when I was, about 9, my darling mother, Catherine K. Kingston, taught me psychometry. And when I was 9, my mother's best friend taught me clairaudio. As you know, that's the listening of the voice. Mm-hmm. And Mae West was my teacher.
Wow. So I mean, you were just bred perfectly to be able to have this lifestyle. But at what point did you feel confident that you could do this properly, that you could provide insight to people who must have had very complicated lives and needed really important guidance?
Well, I think all my life, I just felt it was my duty. And I'll tell you what could have discouraged me, and I want everybody to purchase The Moment, because people are so disappointed in everything today. You know that, Joshua.
Oh, yes.
They're just disappointed in everything. And I would go down the street, and people would look at me and say something, and I would start to give them a message, believe it or not. Mm-hmm. And they would, everybody had the same terminology for me, you sassy child. Mm-hmm. Doesn't your mother teach you any better? I said, yes, she did. She taught me psychometry. Do you have a piece of jewelry? I just, you know, it was part of my life, as it is part of your life. And I just adore it, and I've loved every single moment of my life. Every single moment. There hasn't been one moment when I haven't said to myself, how fortunate and lucky you are, even on my own choice of the moment in my life that changed my life forever. And that was entering the Army. Sounds very, very strange after being in a world of celebrities and what have you to want to enter the Army. But I did, and thank God I became the youngest Army instructor to serve on foreign soil in Italy during the war, and I just met some fabulous people. When I was about 6, I remember the newspaper coming And I got down on the floor and opened it, and the front page was, he abdicated for the woman he loved. And I said to myself and to my mom and to anybody who would listen to me, I've got to and will meet the Duke and Duchess of Windsor someday. I've got to. It's fate that I've got to have in my life. Something about them. His name was David, and it's my favorite name to the day. We just had, unfortunately, had to lose our wonderful David, Cocker Spaniel, at 17 years old, but he lived a wonderful life. And so finally, I thought, all my life, I followed their career unbelievably.
And you actually, did you meet Princess Diana and speak with her as well?
No. I have a dish that she touched at the very last when I was happened to be at the Waldorf. No, I'm sorry. I happened to be at the Ritz-Carlton in Paris. Ritz, and the general manager said to me, he knew I was doing a story, and he came to me and he said, if this will help you in any way, I want you to have it, because nobody would appreciate it anymore. And it was a crystal dish that was the last thing that she and Dodi Al-Fayed touched. It was two pieces of chocolate. And the person who got the sweetest, or the sweeter chocolate, was able to pick the door, the front door or the back door to go out. And she had the sweetest, and unfortunately, she picked the back door.
Hmm. So
but
now,
unfortunately, again, I had predicted quite some time ago, which made the leading newspapers in England, that she must be very careful of a car crash in a tunnel.
Mm-hmm.
And it would happen during the so many months, ending in August, and of course she passed, unfortunately, in August.
So you have sort of the misfortune, in a way, of being able to detect the inevitable tragedy that some of these people with those lifestyles will endure.
Yes.
Marilyn Monroe being a great example. How exactly did you come into contact with Marilyn Monroe?
I was living in a big house in San Francisco and doing private readings and having a jolly time. It was on the top of Pacific Heights, and I was very fortunate to get the house. I made up my mind. Your mind can do wonderful things, and you know that.
Mm-hmm.
That I was going to buy the house, and I had start payment on the house. And I was living in it and seeing people for private readings. And my great friend, Clifton Webb, you remember Clifton?
No, I really don't. No, I don't know.
Well, Laura...
Oh, okay. That's a great film. Okay, yeah, I love that film. Okay.
Great, great. He was a wonderful, wonderful actor.
Mm-hmm.
And he called me one day from Southern California, and he said, I have somebody that wants a reading with you. And I said, who is it? And he said, can you arrange a reading for Mrs. DiMaggio? Well, DiMaggio is a very common name in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
So we made an appointment for 9 o'clock of a certain evening. And she'd married him. And if you remember, there was some wonderful photographs of Marilyn in the newspapers. She had a white ermine jacket and a black coat. And that's the pictures that made all the newspapers when she married Joe. So that got to be 9 o'clock, and no Marilyn. So my houseboy said to me, it's 9:20 now, your customer not come, shall we close lights? And I said, no, let all the lights on, and you go to bed or do what you want to do, but I want to stay here. And my mother peeked out, and she said, don't close the door, it's going to be a very important woman. So at about 9:30, the doorbell rang, and there she was, in the same outfit that she married in.
Hmm. Wow.
And I recognized her instantly, and she was out of breath. And I'll tell you, this will tell you the type of a girl Marilyn is. And that is that I said, why are you so short-winded? Let's go into the library and have a glass of water. And she came in, and we had the water. And she said, well, I'll tell you why. Because I got out of a cab 5 blocks from your home because it broke in this morning's paper that I had started psychiatric help. And Kenny, if I may call you Kenny, I said, of course. And she said, I didn't want your reputation spoiled.
Wow.
Wasn't that wonderful?
Yeah, that is wonderful.
And it started a relationship that she had readings about 3 or 4 times a month. I naturally knew Joe DiMaggio and met him in the restaurant, but there was no relationship there between us. There was no, I mean, she was the one. And one day, a delivery man came, and there was a gorgeous table, gorgeous, and 4 leather chairs. And as a matter of fact, I'm sitting around that table right now talking to you, Joshua.
Wow.
And it's a table that I brought right with me to Southern California, and this is where I do all my private readings and talk to important people on the telephone.
Mm-hmm.
And only important people.
Great. Well, you know, we have about a minute before our first break here, and let me just ask you, what was the main thing that she was concerned about when she came to see you?
She was concerned about not terribly much. She really wasn't. She had confidence in herself, but what she wanted to know, most important, when and if she was going to have children, because she adored children.
Mm-hmm. And you knew that she was going to have a tragic outcome, I presume?
No, I really didn't. Nothing was wrong, I'll tell you. Marilyn, then she bought a house, which I asked her not to buy, in Brentwood. She suffered badly from agoraphobia.
Mm-hmm.
And she was just, when she saw this beautiful house, I went into it, and I knew it wasn't meant for her. It was too gloomy. It was down in Brentwood. And it was behind gates, and it was too spooky at night. And I just knew it was the wrong house for her, but that had nothing to do with it. And, you know, Joshua, we were going that Saturday night to a party given by Peter Lawford and his wife, Patricia Kennedy. And we were going to their Malibu home for a party, and we were all set to go, and yet she called me quite early on Saturday morning, and she said, you know, Kenny, I'm holding a major press conference on Monday. I want you there because I want to look my best. I really want to look my best, and I don't want to go to a party and be tired for the party. And then, you know, wait until Monday for the press conference. And the surprising thought is that at the press conference, she was going to announce that Thursday she was going to remarry Joe DiMaggio.
Hmm. Okay. Well,
and she was, their clothes were all picked out,
yeah.
His suits were all tailored, the flowers were ordered, and instead of it being a wedding, it was her funeral, and the clothes she wore that in the casket, of course, that she was going to wear for her wedding.
That's just eerie. That is downright eerie. Okay, let's take this break. When we come back, I'd like to talk to you also about your relationship with the presidents Truman and Eisenhower. Truman is one of the most significant presidents that we've ever had, and I cannot wait to hear more about your experience with him. Folks, I'm talking right now with Kenny Kingston, and he is known by many as you know, psychic to the stars. He's a medium, and you know, the list of his clients goes on, and they have had so many brushes with history, and he has advised them along the way. He has a new book out we'll talk some about soon. It's called The Moment. His website is kennykingston.org, and it is linked up right now to speakingofstrange.com. I'm Joshua P. Warren. Speaking of Strange, we'll be right back here. Mountains, Asheville, North Carolina, land of the sky. I am your host, Joshua P. Warren. This is Speaking of Strange. Dark 30 hours coming up soon. And right now I am talking with Kenny Kingston, a man who has devoted his life to helping guide some of the figures. His website is kennykingston.org, where you can learn about his new book called The Moment. And of all the presidents we've had, you could say arguably that no president has literally had the weight of the world placed upon his shoulders more than Harry Truman. He took the helm of a world war and made some very difficult decisions fighting against a fierce enemy to finally drop the atomic bombs. And Kenny, what exactly was the nature of your interaction with President Truman?
It was strange. I was walking down Grand Avenue in San Francisco, and I don't know why, but the traffic was so heavy because his motorcade was en route, and I was standing in front of the White House. That's a department store in San Francisco. And I was standing in front of it. I couldn't move. It was people to people. And eventually his motorcade passed by. And he stood up and waved. And somehow, I don't know, but our eyes just met. And I found him such a simpatico man. And I had, fortunately, Ben Swig was a buddy of mine, and he owned the Fairmont Hotel in San Francisco, where everybody who's anybody stays. And he had given me a huge space for my evenings in the world of entertainment, the world of the supernatural. And I held my readings there. We held our seances there. And he was just overly charming with me. And So finally, one particular that very day, I got back to my studio at the Fairmont, and I got a telephone call from Ben, and he said, you know who I think needs a boost? He's quite down, President Truman, and he's staying in the hotel. I asked him if he would like a psychic reading, and he said he's never had one, but his wife often goes to psychics because she wants to find out how the country is going to run. And so I said, of course, I would be delighted to. And he said, well, I'm going to send word upstairs that you are willing to give him a reading. And when could he see you? So a matter of time later, something like an hour or so, my phone rang, and it was Ben, and he said he'd like to see you as soon as possible. And I said, that's fine. So momentarily, a knock came on the door, and it was the Secret Service. And they escorted me up to his suites, and as I walked in, he had his coat off, and he said, for the spirit's sake, should I put on my coat? I said, oh, no, Mr. President. It's quite all right to have you with the spirits. I'm sure they're delighted. So I gave him his reading, and he asked, you know, certain questions that I couldn't possibly remember or could I mention because they were privy. But anyway, as we talked, I said, what is your philosophy for having such a wonderful sense of humor? And he said to me, you know, Kenny, I was so fortunate in my young life. He said, and I think you believe in soulmates. I said, oh, you know I do, Mr. President. And he said, well, I got one. Ever since I was 6 years old, I was madly in love with Best. And when it came time for me to become president, she was with me all the way, even to the fact that we went to the site where the Harry Truman Library was going to be erected. And he said, I want my office in the library right here because I want to be able to get up out of my grave or whatever I am, and I want to walk into my office. And I told that story a zillion times on Merv Griffin or Mike Douglas or Jack Parr, told those stories all over again and again, and everybody always laughed at it, that the President of the United States would get up out of his grave and walk into his library. And so finally it took 25-some years for his daughter, Margaret, to write the story Bess. And in the story Bess, she tells the story about her father wanting his office in the cemetery, right there near the office.
Yeah, and that's so in Kansas City.
True. But he told me, also I said, Mr. President, how do you have such a wonderful, wonderful sense of humor? He was not like a president. I can't tell you, Joshua. This man was bigger than life, and yet he was, you know, not a big man, but looked right into your eyes, told the spirits what he felt, called them by name, and he was just somebody. And I asked him, how do you keep your sense of humor? He said he started to laugh, and he said, only you would think of a question like that because it really is a fun question. He said, I'll tell you, when I was a junior senator, I was the world's worst driver, and naturally not like it is today where I have an entourage to take me wherever I want to go, but I was driving my own car, and people would slam on their brakes when I went through a red light or something, and I learned that if I waved at them and smiled, they would wave back and smile and wonder who I was. So that's the type of a sense of humor he had. He had more of a sense of humor, but also he was a direct president, particularly what he did to General MacArthur.
So we have.
I mean, it took courage.
Yeah.
Way beyond his entourage to suggest that he do a thing like that.
We've got about a minute until our next break. Do you think that it hurt him to drop those bombs, or was he just so angry that he said, this has to be done? I mean, what is your read on how he felt spiritually?
My read on the house is that from his aura, from his aura, just like the reading I gave through an aura on the newspaper of a picture, a colored picture of Princess Di that I could diagnose the situation, I think that I know that he had no regrets.
Yeah.
And I don't think we should have any regrets.
Right. It had to be done. It had to.
It had to be done. And it took a man, I don't think even President Eisenhower, who I got to read on several occasions when I was in the Army, would have done it. I just don't think he would have done it.
Mm-hmm.
He had a different mind. You know, everything was different about him. He was a militaristic man through and through, where Truman was a humanitarian.
Yeah. Okay, when we come back, I'd like to talk a little bit about where these people are now and really where all of us are going to be. When we talk about the idea of the spiritual realm, what does that really mean? You know, where is this place? What do we all have to perhaps look forward to? I'm speaking this hour with a true legend, Mr. Kenny Kingston. And, you know, he is a part of influencing history on many levels, whether it's pop culture or politics.
You're kind.
People have
sought,
well, people have sought the advice that Kenny Kingston has been able to produce. And his website is KennyKingston.org, and his new book is called The Moment. I'm Joshua P. Warren. We'll get right back with Kenny Kingston after this. You're listening to Speaking of Strange.
Stop.
Speaking of Strange, the show where the unusual becomes usual. Thank you for spending your Saturday night with us. And this hour, we are just delighted to have Kenny Kingston on the program. Kenny, I know this is not courteous to ask, but how old are you? You've met all these people. Well, I know you've probably been around for thousands of years, but I mean, it's impressive that you have been.
If I would tell you that question, I'd tell you what my will is.
Oh, really? So, well, you obviously.
I'm crazy, but not that crazy.
You've done very, very well, obviously.
How old do you think I might be?
Well, I haven't calculated anything. I imagine you must be in your 80s, right?
In my 80s?
I guess so. I mean, just I'd have to go back and look at the dates of some of the celebrities and figures that you've met. Yeah.
Well, if you find out, please keep it to yourself. That's just between you and I.
Okay. Well, you obviously have maintained the sharp, vibrant, youthful energy. And when you talk to these people and you are looking into the deeper spiritual level and you even think about the future all of us have ahead, how do you maybe describe, how do you come up with an analogy or a metaphor for what exactly the spiritual realm is? What is going to happen to all of us, so to speak, when we die?
Well, first of all, we don't die.
Right.
We only have a new birthday. That's when life really begins.
Mm-hmm.
And we go to paradise, and depending upon what our conditions were and what we've done while we were so-called alive, determines what we do on the other side and our stature on the other side, where we are, what we do. For instance, people wondered when I predicted that the Duchess of Windsor greeted Princess Di on the other side. Now, they wondered why. Why would she greet the Duchess? And it turned out that they both were stripped of their royal title. So they had that tremendously in common.
Mm-hmm.
But I just would like to say this one thing, that when the army closed the school on the Lido, have you been to the Lido?
No.
Oh, you've got to go.
Okay.
You've got to go to Venice and the Lido. It's the most romantic spot in the world. And I spent 3 years there, and trust me, you will adore it. But go with somebody that you care about.
Okay.
Anyway, going back to school closing, the major put me in charge of special services because Dan Daly became a buddy of mine, and he was going back to Hollywood. And, of course, later he was nominated, as you know, for the Academy Award for When My Baby Smiles at Me. But anyway, I was in charge then of special services. And among my duties was just put on a bathing suit occasionally. Of course, I booked all the entertainment for the theater. But in addition, I walked the beach and make sure the cabins were all clean, etc., because that's where the troops came for relaxation when they had to leave. And as I was walking down the beach one day, the stout lady passed me, and she said, "Hello, how are you?" And I said, "I'm fine, how are you?" And she said, "Oh, you're American." And I said, "Yes," and we chatted a few minutes. And she said, "Well, I've got a lot of things to do today." I said, "Not really. All you're going to do is," and I told her what she was going to do. And she said, "Oh, my God, are you a fortune teller?" And I said, "No, I'm a psychic." And she said, "I'm sorry." She said, "How interesting. What you told me is 100% accurate, and nobody knew." I said, "Well," she said, "I have a couple that I'm living with across the street. They're staying there for a month in the villa, and she adores, I'm sorry, psychics." "That's right." I said, "Yes." And she said, "Would you consider coming tomorrow around 3 o'clock for tea with her?" And then later, I'm sure her husband, who really is not that in favor, but tolerates it because he adored her. And I said, "Oh, certainly, I would love it." So we made the appointment, and as I was leaving her, she said, "Oh, by the way, my name is Elsa Maxwell." And, of course, that was the most famous party giver in the world. Not with her money, but with the people that she got to know and through parties with the international set that she traveled with, and she would bring two or three couples like she charged. Anyway, I'm ahead of my story. I rang the doorbell, and the houseboy came. He ushered me into the library, and there was Miss Maxwell. And she said, "Do come in. She will be right here in just a minute. She's on the telephone." So eventually we sat down, and she said we could, and we started to talk. And eventually the door opened, and we stood up, and she said, "Kenny Kingston, I would like to have you meet Her Royal Highness, the Duchess of Windsor."
Wow.
I can't tell you. And it changed my life forever, because I got the philosophy that only believe, all things are possible if you only believe.
Well, now,
and we became, pardon me?
Yeah, oh, I'm sorry. I was just going to say, I wish we had 2 hours with you. But now you have had this sense, meeting people like that, that some folks have a greater spiritual depth that they pay attention to, right?
Yes.
Now, I would be remiss if I weren't selfish here and ask if you have any thoughts about me. I've got this opportunity with a man of your legendary stature. Do you have any feelings, Kenny?
Well, number one, I think you should be doing... Thank you. I think you should be doing... I'm getting a voice from the other side that's telling me to tell you that you should be doing a network show. You have a charismatic quality that belongs on the network.
Radio or TV?
Both.
Okay.
Both.
Yeah.
I wish you'd send me a picture of yourself. The voice is extremely soothing and would give people advice. As an example, on my own radio show, which airs on every Tuesday night, a girl called last week, and she said, "You know, you gave me a reading a couple of weeks ago." And I said, "Yes." And she said, "I appreciated it so terribly much, but how could you give a reading over the phone?" I said, "Well, that's clairaudio, and listen to the sound of a voice, and just know what the spirit." You know, Joshua, that you or I can't take any credit for giving messages. That comes directly from the spirit world.
Mm-hmm.
And we just listen, and if we listen carefully, really carefully, we give an accurate reading.
Right. Well, now, we have about a minute before our break, and I want to dig into your book for the last part of this hour here. But in the meantime, producer Forrest has a quick question that he'd like to get your advice on, Kenny, if that's okay.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
So my producer Forrest has a quick question he'd like to get your advice on. Is that all right?
Sure.
Okay, Forrest?
Hey, Kenny. We talked a little earlier when answered the phone for you. I've been having some health problems lately, and I just wanted to see what your reading here is on what's going on with me, health-wise.
Very difficult, because, you know, health questions are so complicated, but...
Well, health questions, I couldn't answer, because that really, I think one psychic particularly visited The View not too terribly long ago, and never came back because he told Barbara Walters that there was a man around her with a glass eye. Well, of course, it was her father, Lou Walters, who owned the Latin Quarters in New York. And he also said to her that, "I checked your blood, and you need to see a doctor as soon as possible." And when he left, she said, "That man should be banned."
Wow.
From doing this type of work.
All right. I just wanted if you can't do health questions, I just want to see what kind of general reading you might get off of me.
Nothing, Forrest.
Sorry. Somebody on the phone?
Somebody on the phone?
No.
I mean, somebody that you want me to give a reading to?
Oh, no. Forrest was just asking. No, I would never do that. And, of course, I just, you know, we wanted to take the opportunity to see what you thought just in general about Forrest. It's very difficult to be in this position to sum things up like that. I tell you what, Kenny, let's take a break. And when we come back, if you have anything related to Forrest that you would like to say, that's fine. But I want to get into your book here as much as possible the moment before we wrap up this hour. Because The Moment, I'm sure, is a book that many, many people listening will want to buy. It's KennyKingston.org. That's where you should go. And there's a link. It's speakingofstrange.com to KennyKingston.org, and we'll be right back with Kenny here on Speaking of Strange.
Also, don't forget to visit my Facebook page.
Oh, okay.
And, or go to KennyKingston.org.
Okay.
And by all means, send in any question, healing, a problem that you have with your health, and my healing sisters will take it out of the basket and do healing once a week for them.
Excellent. Well, that is a very kind offer, and I'm sure a lot of people will take you up on that. We'll be right back with Kenny Kingston. That's Speaking of Strange. welcome back to the final minutes of hour number two on tonight's Speaking of Strange. The Dark 30 Hour is coming up next. I'm wrapping up my conversation with Kenny Kingston, kennykingston.org. And, Kenny, we've got just a few minutes left here, but they're all yours. What would you like to talk about, sir?
Well, I think what you would like to know is what a lot of the major stars and major personalities, including Hitler, are doing on the other side.
Okay,
so,
yeah.
A book Valerie and I, Valerie, incidentally, I think did a beautiful job, Valerie Porter, who's been with me for 32 years.
Mm-hmm.
And she has written most of my books. This is the sixth one Valerie has done. And the one that I think you're going to enjoy and we're going to send it to you is called I Still Talk To, meaning many of the illustrious personalities who have gone on and made the transition, what they're doing on the other side. I think that's a book that you really will enjoy also, and I'm going to be toting that along with me when I visit to autograph the book, The Moment, which I am extremely pleased with because there are so many personalities in the book who tell me their moment. And it's so important that, you know, like I said to my doctor, and you say to any doctor, what was your happiest moment? And they'll say, when I received my papers to be a doctor. Well, when they start thinking it over, it's long before that. So it really is a thought-provoking situation.
Yeah.
I Still Talk To is a book I'm going to send you, because I think you'll love it, and I'm going to take it with me when I go on the personal appearances with all these other books.
Excellent. I cannot wait. And is there an appearance coming up that our audience should know about?
Oh, yeah. We got appearances all over California. We're sticking pretty close to California because they're writing another television show. And my one series, Kenny Kingston, lasted, as you remember, 8 years, and that's a long time. And my other series lasted the duration of the contract, but the one that I love the most, too, lasted 8 years and grossed, incidentally, $8 million a month.
Wow, that's incredible.
Yes.
Well, obviously, you know, the reason that all these years you have been able to, you know, come into contact with so many amazing people and have one success after another, whether it's radio, TV, or books, is because you have a gift. You have some substance there that people in important situations want to take advantage of. And so, you know, all I can say is thank you for all the years that you have advised all of these people, and I feel confident that they have gotten nothing but positivity and great insight from you. And anytime you want to come back on this show, you let me know and keep us updated on anything that you're doing, because it has been a great honor and a pleasure. So thank you, Kenny Kingston.
Well, may I say to you in closing, have a wonderful forever.
Very well. Thank you, Kenny. There you have it, folks. Mr. Kenny Kingston, a man who is, well, he is one of those figures who just ends up with the people at the right time who have something of greatness, importance, going on in their lives. And that's what history is all about. When we come back, it'll be the Dark 30 Hour. Outrageous stuff. I'm Joshua P. Warren. It's Speaking of Strange.